The reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 15. And you'll find that on page 989 of the Pew Bibles. The parable of the great banquet. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed are those who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I have just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
Most of us here tonight are old enough to remember this film back in the 1960s. 1967, guess who's coming to dinner? Sidney Poitier, Catherine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy. Tells the story of a professional girl called Joanna who's out in Hawaii returning home to her parents in San Francisco with the news that she has a fiancé. The shock, though, is that her fiancé is a black physician, a very educated man called John. Now, bear in mind in the 1960s that interracial marriage was still illegal in about 16 of the states of America. So this was quite a shocking kind of film and message to portray. And it was a struggle for her parents, who were quite liberal-minded, to suddenly realize that their daughter wants to marry a black man. And what was interesting too was he was invited to the dinner, but then to stir things up even a bit more, John's parents were there invited too. And so you had this wonderful mix of people coming to terms with their prejudices and trying to work it through. It was a surprise dinner party with guests turning up that you hadn't expected. And that could be a good description of that parable that was just read to us, guests who's coming to dinner. Because Jesus told this shocking story about a big banquet. A banquet that was laid on for lots of people to come, and there were some surprise guests who turned up in the end. I want to think about that story tonight because it speaks of God's love and provision for us. First of all, there's a surprise invitation. The refusal of the original guests meant that others were invited who never thought they would be invited. People who never imagined in a million years that they would go to a big party, a big banquet. The owner was determined to have this banquet filled, this banqueting hall filled. So he sends his servants out into the streets and byways of the town, says, "Drag people in, compel them to come in." And then when they came back with a number of people, there was still room. So he said, "Go out even further afield and bring even more people in." It's a wonderful story that speaks of God's open invitation to all people. That through the message of Jesus and through the life of Jesus, there is a message that whosoever, whatever your background, you are welcome to know God's love and grace.
Did you notice in that reading that the masters compel them to come in? It sounds a bit like a press gang, doesn't it? Twisting their arm around their neck, you're coming to this party whether you like it or not. It actually didn't mean quite that. Think about it for a minute. The people who are being invited to the party would never have imagined in a million years that they would get an invite. And so compel them means persuade them that this invitation is genuine. We're not playing a trick on you. You are welcome. They've never been invited to a party before. So convince them that they are welcome, that they're not excluded. Bearing in mind that they lived in a society then where many people felt excluded by the religious people who felt they were so good, others felt they were excluded. And that's the point, isn't it? That Jesus is making a very clear message. That no one needs feel excluded from the message of God's love and welcome. But you know, over the years, I've met many people who do exclude themselves, who feel that they are excluded, who feel somehow they're not good enough for God. They're not good enough for church. They're not good enough to be accepted. And I have to say that I find this amongst a lot of older people. Maybe it's that generation that was brought up with that sense, your parents taught you, you've got to be good. And if you weren't good, you were punished, as it were. And the kind of feeling, well, I'm not quite good enough for God. And sometimes the church has made it worse because it's given out a message of holier than thou. That somehow I could never be as good as those people that pray, those people that go to church. And I've sat down with many people over the years of ministry and tried to persuade them, tried to encourage them to realize that they do matter to God. That whatever their background, whatever they feel about themselves, God loves them and welcomes them through Jesus. And I've had many opportunities to compel people, to persuade people that they do matter, that the welcome is there for them. Think about it. They were told to come as they were. When you go to a big party, don't you like to, you ladies especially, take lots of time to get yourself ready? What am I going to wear? No, that doesn't suit me. I'll wear this. No, that won't work. And so on. And perhaps some men are just as bad as that. But you like to dress up. You like to be ready for the party. They didn't have time to do that. And imagine how they must have felt. I'm not dressed for the party. I don't feel as if I need to go home and have a bath, have a change of clothes. No, come as you are. There's a wonderful message there, isn't there? That we don't have to be something for God to accept us. We come as we are, with all our hang-ups, with all our weaknesses, with all our failures, with our mixture of strengths and weaknesses, with our mixture of good things and bad things. We come as we are. And yet so many people I've met over the years imagine that somehow they've got to get themselves right before they come to church. Got to get themselves right before God will accept them. The welcome is there to come as we are, with our sense of failure, with our inadequacies, with our lives that are sometimes broken and messed up. And God loves us as we are. That's the wonderful message, isn't it? So there's a wonderful reassurance here of a welcome. A welcome that is for anyone, whatever their background. Do I have to persuade anybody here tonight? Do I have to compel you to understand that you matter to God? Don't write yourself off. Don't exclude yourself, because God doesn't. Don't let other people exclude you either. Whatever your memories of your parenting or church experience in the past, don't let that put you off. Know that you matter to God, and that wherever you are in your life right now, whatever you feel about yourself, the invitation is there to know God's love and to be accepted by Him as His child through Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful song that Stuart Townend has written called Come All You Vagabonds, Come All You Don't Belongs. Winners and losers, come people like me. Come all you travellers tired from the journey. Come wait a while, stay a while, welcomed you'll be. And here's the wonderful chorus. Come to the feast, there is room at the table. Come let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness who welcomes us in. With the wonder of love and the power of grace. Do you need persuading? that you matter to God, that you are welcome at his table. Don't write yourself out of God's love. Don't exclude yourself. The invitation is there. And maybe you're surprised about that. Well, we should all be surprised, actually, that we matter, because none of us deserve God's love, and yet he offers it to us. So there's a sense in which we should all be surprised to be here tonight, praising God. But I'm speaking perhaps to some who have put themselves in the background and thought, well, I'm not quite good enough. I'm not quite where I should be to know God's love. You matter to God. That's the message of this story. So be surprised by that. Be pleasantly surprised and realize that God loves you and calls you to come to him as you are. Not as you'd like to be, but as you are. So while for many people there was a surprise invitation, for others there was a lost opportunity. How it worked in those days when you had a party, you would send out the invitations way ahead. Not so organized, they weren't clock watchers like we are. They'd send out the invitations way ahead. And they would say, I'm going to have a party at such round about this kind of time. They didn't say at, you know, the 28th at 6 o'clock exactly. They didn't work that way. There's going to be a party in a few weeks' time. I'll tell you when we're ready. I'll send my servants out and then you can come. So these people knew that a party was going to happen. So if you think about it, the ones who were originally invited didn't have a good excuse to say no, did they? They knew it was happening. And there's something pathetic about their excuses. I just brought a field. Well, why don't you see it later? Why are you going to see it now? I've just married a wife. Well, why don't you bring her along too? I've just brought 5 oxen. I need to try them out. Well, do it later. Come on, the party's on. I imagine the listeners to the parable originally would have been chuckling. What silly people. What crazy excuses to make. To miss the party. To give such feeble, pathetic excuses. You know, the human mind is incredibly ingenious when it comes to making excuses. I've got to fill in my tax return this month. I get it in April, but I put it off right to the last minute. At least I get it in on time. The Inland Revenue published recently a number of feeble excuses that people gave for not returning their tax returns. A self-employed builder said, "My pet goldfish died." A Midlands farmer said, "I had a run-in with a cow." A London woman said, "After seeing a volcanic eruption on the news, I couldn't concentrate." A self-employed trader, "My wife won't give me my mail." And a taxi driver said, "My bad back means I can't go upstairs where the tax return is." And worst of all, a London accountant said, "I've been too busy submitting my clients' tax returns." Genuine excuses that people offer, but they're pathetic, aren't they? We laugh at them. Pathetic. Who's Jesus getting at here? He's challenging somebody, isn't he? Well, it's very clear he's challenging the religious people of the day, the Pharisees, the scribes, those who claim to know God, those who claimed that God was important in their lives. And yet here they are now, faced with what God is saying to them through Jesus, and they're turning down the opportunity. They're refusing to acknowledge what Jesus is saying. And so Jesus, I think, is challenging the people of his day who were self-sufficient, who were self-satisfied, self-righteous, thinking they were good enough, who felt they didn't need to respond. And sadly, I found over the years that's a mistake many people still make. They think they are good enough. They think they don't need God. They think they can get by on their own. Or they'll just say hello to God every now and again. Too busy, too preoccupied, too many other things to think about. And the warning here in this story of Jesus is that you can lose the opportunity. You can lose the opportunity to miss God's love in your life. I don't know if any of you watch Come Dine With Me on Channel 4. I've not seen it, only seen snippets of it, but it's a very popular program. And I think it's a wonderful title because it kind of sums up the invitation in this story that Jesus tells. You see, God wants us to have fellowship with him. And by the way, the emphasis is not on the food, it's on the hospitality, it's on the welcome. You can come dine with me, it's all about the haute cuisine and how posh it is and so on, whether you can outdo the other person. But this parable is a reminder, that's what the gospel invitation is all about. Through Jesus, God invites us to have a relationship with him, to know his presence, his love in our lives. In Eastern, Middle Eastern culture, if you invited somebody to a meal, that was a very significant moment. It was more than we do when offering hospitality. It signified that you were accepting that person totally. You were reaching out in friendship and saying, I welcome you, I accept you. And so what Jesus is saying by using this illustration of a meal as a description of the gospel invitation is that God wants to welcome us. And God wants to accept us as his children, that we might know his love and grace in our lives. There's a famous picture, you've probably seen it, called The Light of the World by Holman Hunt, the Victorian artist. And there's a picture, as he portrays Jesus knocking on the door. And it's based on a verse of scripture from the last book of the Bible, where Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them. Jesus is saying to the church then and to individuals, come dine with me. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to have a relationship with you. You might know my love in your lives. So the invitation is there. That's what this story is all about, isn't it? And the wonderful abundance of the provision laid before us tonight in harvest is a reminder that God's provision is so generous. There is room for everyone, and there is enough for everyone to know his love. And so it only remains to know what your answer is, doesn't it? Are we saying yes, that we want to open our lives to the love of God in Jesus, so that that might shape us, we might know his presence, walking with us day by day, knowing that we are accepted, and even though we know we make a mess of things and we still fail, but he loves us and he accepts us in Jesus. That's a great thing to know, isn't it? That security of knowing we're not excluded. There are many people in our world today, and especially in our society is the way it's going, who feel excluded, who feel marginalized. They're not sharing in all the good things that others are sharing in. No one need feel that when it comes to knowing God's love. No one here tonight need feel you're excluded. I want to reassure you that you're welcome. And Jesus gives us that invitation to open our lives and to know his love in a fresh way and a new way, that we might learn to walk with him and live with him. So may your answer be yes. Lord, thank you that you've shown your love for me. Thank you that I matter to you. And thank you that you invite me to know your love. I don't feel good about myself always, but you love me as I am. And I thank you for that. And I pray that I might ever know that security, what it is to be your child and to be accepted by you. Let us pray. Just take a moment to thank God for all we've experienced together tonight as we've sung these lovely songs and hymns, as we've heard the meditation on scripture, we've listened to music, we've heard the story of Jesus and reflected on it. They all speak to us of God's love, that we matter to him. So whatever you feel tonight, know that you do matter and that you can know God's love through Jesus in your life. Thank him for that. And just ask him to make that clear to you even more in the coming days. Father, thank you for all that we've shared. And we thank you for the invitation, the surprise invitation that we should be invited and to know your love. But thank you for inviting us. Save us from being those who miss the opportunity of knowing what you do, want to do for us, and knowing your love. So we say yes and respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.